Good morning, everybody. How have the sessions been so far today? Good? We got one session left between now and lunch, so we're going to try and keep this pretty light. My name is Brett Gordon. I look after enterprise, so a lot of customer engagements. So if you have any questions on how to Windows Phone 7 can actually fit within your organization, please come and see me. And with me today, we have Dave Glover. Probably a lot of you have already seen him in sessions before.
So flitting around. So I'm based in Melbourne at Microsoft, and I'm the Windows Phone Developer Evangelist. And the tag before there was something I'm just trying to drive in terms of creating a connection. So do sign up with that. A bit of a jack of all trades, a bit of a developer, bit of this, bit of that. It's close enough. So most of the session is actually Brett's.
Well, we're gonna split it up today. So it is going to be fairly light on the technical side, but we're hoping to give everybody a really good understanding of what Mango is, where we've actually come from with 6.1, 6.5. Can I get a show of hands? How many people have used a Windows Phone 6.1 device? 6.5 device? A couple of hands are dropping. Windows Phone 7? A few more have dropped. And how many people have Mango? All right, just a couple. Lucky few, all right?
There's a question. Have you got a competition?
Oh, yeah. So, question?
I can't remember what the question was.
How many people know when Mango's coming out? It's coming out soon.
Oh, no.
So it's coming out in the springtime of next year, of this year. So there you go. You get a Plantronics device.
You won something. Fantastic.
So we have one more prize.
We have
later
one more prize
at the end of this. What we're going to do today is talk a little bit about the consumerization of IT, what that actually means for your business. We're also going to look at the year in review, so where Windows Phone was and where it's actually going, and look at some of the partners and some of the people that are actually developing, onto the Windows Phone platform. We're also going to talk about how it actually will fit into your existing infrastructure. So SharePoint, Link, Office, and then also how you can actually develop applications and deploy them into Marketplace. So whether that be only for a specific organization, but also for the ability to open it up to everybody like you can today. So we're adding a new feature called Targeted Distribution. So what we actually have in market today, right? Windows Phone 7 launched on October 21st last year in Australia, okay? The reason behind the launch of Windows Phone 7 is that, we needed a new operating system. We hit the restart button, and we wanted to give and deliver a phone that end users wanted to use, and it was a very, very good phone that people would want to use as well as fit in with their existing Microsoft ecosystem. We had Windows Phone 6.5 and 6.1 in the past, but it was somewhat of an old operating system. All right, it was 15 years old, and we kept going on and on and over again as to building on top of that operating system. If any of you actually have Windows Phone 6.5 in your organization, you're running any line of business applications, and you feel that you're going to actually need additional phones, please come and see me at the end of the session, and we can talk about it, because Windows Phone 6.5 is coming to an end. We'll still actually support it, but the manufacturers aren't producing as many devices anymore. Okay. Right underneath that, we actually have what's known as Windows Phone Embedded. Windows Phone Embedded is the ruggedized version of Windows. It's Windows Phone 6.5, a lot of them, and it certainly has a compact edition of SQL on there. So a lot of rugged devices out there, you might see them actually out on the tarmac. We have a number of vendors here today that are actually supporting us with Windows Phone Embedded devices. So the changing workforce, why we actually have gone out and designed Windows Phone 7 and interesting Mango, is that we realized that the workforce is becoming increasingly mobile. So 73% of the workers out there will become mobile by the end of next financial year, so the end of 2012. Okay, what we classify as a mobile worker is somebody that spends 20% or more of their time outside of the working area. So how many of you are mobile workers? Yeah. Okay, well, we've got to improve that stat by the end of next year. So smartphones will actually surpass 226 million by the end of, well, actually, they did surpass by the end of 2010. And by the 2014 439 million smartphones will actually be sold. And I think that number is actually low, all right? Interesting stat, you know, last year there were a few stats that came out about how many smartphones were sold in Australia. At the beginning of the year, I think it was forecasted that there would be 5 million, just under 5 million. Then it went up to 5.5 million. And at the end of June, that financial year, there were 6 million smartphones sold in Australia out of 9 million phones sold in the total market. Right? When you look at the population of 22 million, pretty impressive. Right? So, you know, everybody is refreshing their phones more and more often. People are refreshing their phones more often than they're actually refreshing PCs. Okay? That's the first time that it's actually happened was last year in Australia. And that trend is increasing and changing all around the world. Right now, email is the dominant form of communication that people actually use on smartphones, although internet is certainly increasing. Does anybody in here have a smartphone and not have email on it? Nobody, right? So 92% is probably actually pretty low, but that's what Forrester says. Productivity and line of business applications are the next driver for growth to get that extra uplift of the remaining, I guess, 439 million. That's what Forrester says. I think the next line of business application or the real next killer app is being able to have access to any of your information, whether that be personal or enterprise, wherever you are. Okay? That's the next killer application, and that's the way we've actually designed Windows Phone 7, to be able to separate that personal and that business. All right? And there's no single dominant OS in the enterprise in a few years from now. Okay? Right now, you might see that it's skewed. There's quite a bit of Android out there. There's quite a bit of iPhone out there. There's Symbian, which is still out there. And then there's Windows Phone. But right now, you know, it's quite skewed. I think the latest numbers showed that Android was close to 40% of the market share in Australia. We feel that the numbers are actually going to change, and it will be a much more balanced ecosystem. People will actually choose entire ecosystems as well, not just specific devices. So it will all come down to what you actually want to do with the device and the ecosystem that you've actually chosen. And consumerization of IT is becoming a reality. All right? It wasn't so long ago that you know, if you wanted an email on your phone, what happened? You basically went down to the IT, or your manager basically gave you a BlackBerry. All right? No longer are those days are pretty much gone, I think. Right? People are actually demanding to bring devices into your working environment. All right. I have a little video that I actually want to show you on the consumerization of IT.
So, it's only 10 a.m. on Monday morning, and you're ready to ditch the IT field for a less frustrating career, like a lumberjack or a piranha dentist. There's a new girl who thought it would be smart to upload sensitive legal docs onto a cloud app so she could work on them from home. Sharon from finance is hovering over your desk, waiting for her turn. She bought the new robot phone that reads your email out loud while it makes your morning coffee, and she wants you to set up her company email on it. Then there's Jimbo from marketing, who wants to know if he can trade in his 3-month-old tablet he just had to have for one of those new Magic Pad Savior of the World punch screen deals, which is definitely not on the list of approved devices. And while you're trying to explain these things to Jimbo, who just keeps saying, "Man, but the punch screen is so rad," you're thinking, "Seriously, aren't you the one who's supposed to be making the IT decisions around here? Isn't it your job to provide employees the technology they need to do their jobs well, while factoring in things like budgets and security?" At least, that's how it used to be. People showed up in the morning, used whatever technology you provided them, did their jobs, and went home. And everyone started over the next morning. Things are changing. People have access to better and cheaper personal technology than they've ever had before. And technology isn't just changing how people work in general. It's actually blurring the lines between work and life. By giving folks more influence and choice over how and where they work and what technology they use to get things done. This is consumerization, and it's impacting you and your company. Your job is to keep things safe, secure, and working properly. So how do you handle the risks that come with consumerization? Answer, you embrace the risks responsibly because the resulting opportunities are even greater. Consumerization is an opportunity for you to help people work in ways that better suit their jobs and their personalities. It's an opportunity to provide people with technology that makes them more productive and makes their work more enjoyable. Last time we checked, both of those things are good for business. So you have a choice. You can choose to resist consumerization, or you can choose to embrace consumerization responsibly and become a spearhead for the change it brings within your organization. Consumerization is happening, and it's good. Your organization becomes more productive with more choice. Jimbo is happy, and you're the hero. So if you're willing to say yes to the opportunities that consumerization brings, Microsoft is here to help.
Does that look familiar to anybody?
I'm going to get a copy of that to show my IT.
It is up on YouTube, so you can grab it. But I think really that really just sums up the consumerization of IT. Now, how many people, work PCs are better than their home PCs? Yeah, there's one guy in the back there, right? All right, so everything's really changed. You know, people want to bring their own devices actually into your work environment, and it actually makes a lot of sense to do that. So we've actually designed Windows Phone 7 to be able to do that, to separate that business and that pleasure. So how is Windows Phone 7 different, and specifically Mango? Well, we've been around for the past, since the past 10 months. We've done a couple stats. 93% of the people that actually have a Windows Phone are actually satisfied, and the more interesting thing is that 90% of people would actually make a recommendation. So we believe that it is a very, very good device, and we just need you to actually allow that into your organization. If you haven't tested it, please do so. We started with zero applications in Marketplace, all right, last October. All right, we're already up to 30,000 applications. It's the fastest growing marketplace out there in the world. Going from zero to 30,000, nobody else got there quicker. All right. We also have 40,000 development downloads, or registered developers, and 1.5 million people who have actually downloaded the tools. All right. So there's a lot of momentum behind Marketplace and where it's actually going. 30,000 in 1 year, I think, is quite significant. Our partners, all right. We are the only, mobile operating system. We don't actually manufacture hardware. So we're completely open, and it puts us in a very unique position against some of our competitors out there. Right? All these people on here develop for Windows Phone 7, and we don't have any competition with them because we all want to grow as an entire ecosystem, and more partners will come on board later on. So last year we launched with LG, HTC, and Samsung in the Australian market. Now, I'm not quite sure, I can't really reveal right now who's actually going to be launching in the Australian market for this year, but certainly these are some of our global partners, and notably Nokia. So the interesting thing about Nokia right here is that their presence all across the globe. Now, take a look at the stat down there. They sold 450 million phones last year. That's huge. And 100 million of them were smartphones. So I just want to introduce you real quick to Jonathan Banks, who is we've been working very closely with Nokia, and Jonathan is actually works on the enterprise team over at Nokia. So if any of you have any questions, please go see Jonathan at the booth or track myself down or Jonathan down, and we'll get you sorted. So Windows Phone within the Microsoft ecosystem. So if you take a look up here, I'm just going to talk a couple minutes more about the consumer side, but I think it's important to understand because really, at the end of the day, we're all consumers. We all want to have a play with these devices, but we also want to be able to work effectively with them. So you see some of our products out there. You know, Office completely integrated into Windows Phone 7, and there's a lot of improvements going into Mango. Much better synchronization with OneNote. Anybody that has used OneNote before and tried to synchronize with SkyDrive, you can do it. We've made a lot of improvements to that synchronization area. You know, the ability to actually create a document, a Word document now, an Excel document, not only edit that document as well directly on the device. You don't need to add any additional software. All that stuff actually works. Bing. We're adding a function called Local Scout to the Australian market. All right, what that'll actually do is, if Dave will actually demonstrate this later, we can actually, I'm not that familiar with the Gold Coast, and it can tell me all the places to go while I'm up here. So getting you information that's relevant to you at the time. Xbox Live. How many people have Xbox? Good crowd. Cool. We'll have to record gamer tags and compare Angry Bird scores later. But the interesting thing about Xbox is Xbox Live, you know, that entire community. You know, there's over 500,000 people out there in Australia playing Xbox, actually paying to play Xbox Live every month. All right, and you think the average is about 40 hours per month, right? So that's over, what is that? 40 I'm a little nervous. 200,000 hours. But I think the global stat is even more compelling. Where if you look at 40 hours and was it 30 million? I think it's 1.2 billion hours of online play is actually the global stat per month. If you look at Windows Live out there, Hotmail. How many people have Hotmail accounts? Yeah. Or had a Hotmail account at some point, right? A couple more laughs. You know, Hotmail. You know, if you take a look at it lately, it's actually a social media hub, right? So there's about 38 different social networks that you can connect to directly into Hotmail, directly using your Windows Live ID. Yeah, one of the other areas of Hotmail that people don't tend to know about is SkyDrive. SkyDrive is a fantastic application. You know, basically it's your hard drive in the cloud. Right. We give you 25 gigabytes of storage for free, right? And then you can start syncing your documents. So you always have access to your documents wherever you are, or your photos. Right. So if you take a picture, automatically you can set Windows Phone to automatically upload it to SkyDrive. Right. So this way, if you ever lose your phone on a Friday night out, you know you can sort of retrace your steps. You know those photos are going to be there. Nobody's ever done that. Zune is a media player that's been built in to the phone, so. We've launched Zune Player in the U.S., and we've actually incorporated all that software directly onto the phone itself. Zune is also a desktop client that you can use to synchronize. The great thing about Zune is that it'll synchronize all your media over the air, right? So you can almost cut the cable. Another way we're actually separating business from pleasure. So you go home at the end of the day, you plug your phone into the normal charger, it recognizes that you're on your home network, and all of a sudden, just your media will actually start downloading. Okay, so your music, your movies, and your photos will automatically wirelessly synchronize directly back to your desktop. All right, so pretty cool features built into Zune. Now, for the enterprise side, we actually have SharePoint. SharePoint's basically our corporate version of SkyDrive. So being able to access all that information. We allow you to connect securely either via Unified Access Gateway, which is a secure VPN type of function that is in that you can get, or you can actually use Office 365, where we actually act as a gateway. All right, fantastic Office 365 integration. One of the key differences of the Windows Phone platform from an IT perspective is that it's single user login. Right, you log in through Office 365. And all you have to do is put your username, password, and you'll get your mail, link, and SharePoint all right down. Most people already know their username and password, so very easy to administer from an IT perspective. SharePoint, we'll do some more of the demos, and we actually also have a link client coming later in the year. All right, and I'll talk a little bit about that more in a few minutes. From the developer side, you develop in a number of ways. Through Silverlight or XNA. Dave has a great application that was created by British Airways that actually fuses XNA and Silverlight together. All right, so has anybody seen the British Airways demo yet? No? Fantastic. All right, SQL, a lot of companies are actually starting to develop SQL applications in Azure. We've actually brought SQL back down onto the device as well, so that with Windows Phone 6.1 and 6.5, and previous versions and the embedded, he had access to compact SQL. That's actually coming back. So any phone today that you have, we open up the APIs in Mango, and you can actually start developing some more robust line of business applications. Or you can still do it in the cloud. Aussie Post created a fantastic Azure application. Does anybody have any questions so far? So the way we actually designed Windows Phone is we're sticking with the same theme, is that we've actually put people first. All right, so being able to use the phone in a really meaningful way. Being able to, you know, I saw everybody running around before trying to download the or scan those QR codes that they've put everywhere. And some people had to download applications, or you actually had to go in to a specific app and then scan it. And then I saw a few people retaking the photos to make sure that it actually went. Windows Phone 7 Mango will actually have that reader built directly in, so making things just a little simpler. That out-of-box experience is very, very important, so an end user can intuitively, I guess, set the device up with very, very little trouble. We've also gone to a much more consistent platform. Okay, so Windows Phone 6.1, 6.5, very, very different experience if you used a Samsung device or an HTC device. And then on top of that, you had the mobile operators putting their own skins on top of it. All right, so it made very, very fragmented experience from an end user perspective. We've actually changed all that. We're not allowing any customization into that area. So you know that if you develop once on one Windows Phone 7, it'll work across all. So that very, very consistent experience with live tiles, updates, and then we've also standardized on hardware. So we have a minimum screen size of 3.5 inches, maximum 4.8. So it allows you to develop consistently across all the platforms and all the different devices, because your end users may want choice. And there were 6 devices out there in the Australian market this past year that they could have chosen from. All right. So the best productivity out there on Mango. So some of the enterprise features out there that are quite different is, and we'll send this slide through later so you don't have to squint, but information rights management. So the ability to get a protected email out there. Right? That's a great improvement from a security aspect of how you can actually control emails. You know? And Dave will actually demonstrate that later when we have somebody resign from the company. And we don't want that email getting out into the press. Being able to synchronize tasks is another feature that's coming back in. We've taken a lot of customer feedback throughout the process during the past year. And everybody who had a 6.1 or 6.5 device came up and said, what happened to tasks? Well, you know what? That's coming right back in, okay? That's been added into Mango. Obviously, being able to search the corporate GAL, whether you're using the GAL functionality here or you're actually using the link client. So being able to go in and identify who's online, who's offline. Office documents, synchronizing either with SkyDrive or with SharePoint. We'll do a demonstration of that later. And also we've added some security components with Mango. All right, so the next piece, we still have SSL over-the-air encryption. You still have the same way of being able to encrypt specific applications using the crypto API, remotely wiping devices and setting policies through Office 365. You can also do a remote wipe through Hotmail as well. So Link Mobile. So Link is a real interesting one. This is one that was been around for, OCS was around with Windows Phone 6.1 and 6.5. And Link was one of the features or applications that I absolutely loved and really got used to. So I'm very, very excited to see this back with Windows Phone Mango. One of the things that you can actually do is that you can actually view, obviously, and connect with all your colleagues. You have a number of different components, being able to chat with multiple people multiple times. And then there's another function which has just been recently added called single number reach. You can search for your corporate contacts, availability, and check your status. I mean, the thing about Link is that, you know, I can tell you a specific example of, you know, when I first started working at Microsoft, you know, trying to get a hold of somebody is very, very difficult, especially trying to find information out about an account. So there was the ability to actually tag a client. So when that person actually comes online, just like you tag somebody on your desktop, you'll get something vibrating in your hip pocket. Not that thing. I see a guy smiling in the back. But you certainly have the idea of being able to tag somebody and alert them when you become online. So, you know, an email sometimes you might get a quick response from, but you might not. If I'm at a conference here today and, you know, can't get access to my emails or really reply, I might not respond. A phone call, I'm not going to take a phone call right now. But if somebody pings me while I'm on stage right now, then, you know, potentially, you know, I'll be able to say, yep, I can answer your question very, very quickly. So a very informal way of communicating and very easy way of getting a hold of people around the world. The other fantastic feature that's coming with Link is joining conference calls. So how many people here use a conference call, a pin, and a bridge? Now you're sitting there, you take your conference call from the car, and you have to sit there, and you dial, and then you're almost swerving off the road. Not that anybody would be dialing and driving, but you sit there, and you're trying to remember that pin, and you're plugging it in, and then the call might drop or something. This will allow you to single click directly into the conference call with the Link client. So fantastic. Now, single number reach is a real interesting, it's something that not too many people use, but I think it's actually really, really important to note what it actually does. All right, so I'll give you an example. You have Alex over here who's trying to get a hold of Ben. Now, Alex could be, let's say Alex is over in the U.S. right now. Ben's still sitting in Australia. And I know from talking to lots of you that international roaming can be quite a real issue on everybody's minds whenever you go roaming overseas, especially at $20 a megabyte. So what this will actually do is Alex will send a very, very tiny data packet, because Alex is in the U.S., directly to the mobile operator. That data packet will actually hit the Link server back in Australia. We're talking minimal kilobits. What that Link server will actually do is it will actually dial you back wherever you are. So you set the forwards, and that Link server will then call Alex. So you pick up the incoming call, which will all happen seamlessly. And then it'll actually call Ben. All right? So instead of actually paying and initiating an international roaming call wherever you are, you're actually only paying to receive a call and a tiny, tiny amount of data. So a really interesting way of working and potentially reducing your roaming charges. We did this, you know, at Microsoft. We hold a conference every year, and a number of us go overseas. At the end of it, there's usually a very large roaming bill. Now, what we did was we were able to give everybody prepaid AT&T SIM cards, right? And we basically reduced our roaming bill by about 90%. But people could still get a hold of us, right? So think about that. You know, all they had to do was call my office number, and it got redirected. So a really great way of doing it. You know, I suggest maybe getting some prepaid SIMs for your organization if international roaming is a problem. So mobile device management with Exchange connector going through SCCM. So in the past, we had System Center Config Manager 2007, and we also had System Center Mobile Device Manager, right? Two completely separate systems, and then we also had Exchange on top of that, which we could manage through. What we've actually done is we've actually taken 2007 and SCMDM and combined them into one particular product. Right? I feel that we've taken the best of both worlds. We're actually supporting multiple platforms now through SCCM 2012. All right, so that's out right now in beta, but you can download that, and it'll give you a really great way to manage multiple operating systems, especially I'm sure that you're getting hit with those questions, like with the consumerization of IT. So anything with an Exchange Active Sync connection, you'll have the ability to manage through. All right, so what it's effectively doing is taking the policies of Exchange and putting them into SCCM, so giving you one single pane of glass, one place to actually manage everything through. Does that make sense?
Including your WebOS.
Including WebOS, if you were lucky enough to get one of them. Did anybody get one? One person. So synchronization of email, you know, we're sticking with it with our strategy of putting everything into the cloud. You know, everything happens over the air. So if you lose your device, you can you know, have everything back up and running very, very quickly. All right, so synchronization over the air via Wi-Fi. You can plug it into Zoom, but it's still actually only going to be pulling using the internet connection, so just like a normal hotspot. All right. You can send out a certificate to the device if you are running certificates and policies, so that you certainly can do that. Data transmission right now only over the air, and so there's no other way to get information on or off the device other than through Exchange or the media. Or SharePoint, Office 365, or through the Office Hub, so that it's all trackable, all traceable. All right. Some of the new features: APN has become configurable in Mango, We're also adding SSID, our hidden SSID support. So I know that was a big, I guess, blocker for a number of enterprises who already had their that set up. So that's already built into Mango. Now, we have a lot of developers in the room, and Dave can probably talk a lot more intelligently about developing than I can, but certainly the way you can actually put your applications into the marketplace is a little bit different. So right now, if you release an application into marketplace, you only have one option, or you did have one option. That was basically to publish it to everybody. We've actually changed that. So if you're an enterprise, it'll give you the option, or anybody, to actually only for that application to only be viewable by you. What we'll do is we'll give you a deep link or an embedded link, and you can send that out to your organization. All right. Best practice, I think, is to potentially IRM that deep link, because if anybody was to be able to get that deep link, they could certainly download that application. And then what I'd also recommend is putting another layer of authentication. What we use at Microsoft is Active Directory Federation Services. All right. So just put another layer of authentication on that application. You know, Microsoft, we have all our applications, or a good chunk of them, in Marketplace out there. But we're confident in the security behind that nobody's going to be able to access that information. Okay. Now, I'm going to hand over to Dave to do some demos, but I'm going to first ask if anybody has any questions right now. So not that I know of right now. It's possible that they could get them in the future, but yeah, it's not really right for me to comment on another platform. But right now, I believe that it only is, the information rights management is only available on Windows Phone 7, Mango. So targeted distribution, is that up right now?
That's up and running now, yep.
So it just went live.
Yep.
Also, if you are, you're looking at developing any applications for your enterprise, please speak with Dave or myself, and we might be able to give you some guidance. Okay. I'm going to hand over to Dave.
Okay. So this can be a bit of a run-through. So how many people have upgraded their phones to Mango already? So it's only around 5% or so. Yeah, okay. So what I've got here, it's the question I always get asked about this is, can I get hold of one of these devices to project out? And I have to say, just up front, this is a special device. It's not for retail. It won't be a feature at the moment anyway. The other thing about it, this is my real Facebook and my real Facebook mates, so I won't entirely be responsible for what they say. if you see me do demos before last year, I think I probably caveated it, everything I did then as well. So this is the release version of Mango running on this test device. And you can see, if you've seen a Windows Phone before, you'll understand the concept of tiles. And we try to draw information that you're interested in. You can go and rearrange these tiles and put them in the right order and the things that are kind of most important to you. You'll see there goes Brett out there. He's clearly
a good
wakeboarder. But you can see I work with Brett, so he's next to me there. And you can see in a moment it'll pop up the number of messages I have from Brett and things like that. So the whole concept behind this is it's trying to put the information that you care about kind of in front of you with these what we call live tiles. So some of the things that are new inside the platform. To give you a flavor here, so if we go into the what we call the hub, and this is the first hub I'm going to go into is the people hub. You'll notice that if I scroll up through there, obviously I've got all my contacts, I can go and click on search. So something that's new is the idea of groups. So in this case here, I've got people I work with. If I scroll down all the way down here, I can go and do things like send an email to my particular work group, and it'll go and load up all the email addresses for those people. Or I might, in this case, decide to go and send a text, or whatever it might be. And if I go and click on text there, again, it'll go and pre-populate that, and great way of being able to communicate out with your work group. I don't know, it could be a meeting, where are you, or it could be let's go out for lunch, or whatever it might be. So that's some of the kind of nice things we've added in there around groups. If I won't jump into there, oops. I have to say the button on this is slightly flaky. What I can also do is that there might be a group that I work with a lot. I can also pin that group to my main desktop. So again, I can just jump in there, look at my work group, find out what's going on across social networks, be it LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Live, and depending on how I want to know my colleagues, they might also choose to share their photos with me as well. So it's a great way to be able to interact with what's going on with your workmates. So just jump back to the People Hub again. So as I saw, they've got contacts over there. We've now added in other networks into the hub. So we now have LinkedIn. So obviously that's much more of a professional networking environment. So we've got LinkedIn set up there, Twitter and Facebook, and Windows Live. And again, you can go and click on Twitter, for example, and just filter that down to what's on Twitter. If I jump across to LinkedIn, you'll see I pull back the latest items. And again, I've got the ability to go and interact with those. If I go and jump onto Twitter, I can jump around there and I can go and do, you know, retweet, whatever that might be, that person's tweeted out there. So that whole interaction model is actually built into the heart of the phone. So that's kind of the first major bit I want to show, was just what's going on with the People Hub. You notice I pinned the groups. You find that the whole operating system has become much more pinnable, be it directions to a customer or whatever it might be. You can pin those to the front of your desk of the phone, and obviously you can unpin it when you've kind of got to the destination. So just kind of like a nice way of be able to work with all that kind of stuff. The next thing I want to talk about is what you can do around messaging. And the first thing I'm going to do is just click on myself. And you'll see that there is now the ability to go and post a message. So I can go out there and post a message. We'll click on that. And I can go and choose what network I want to go and post that onto. Again, in a work environment, maybe you want to go and post out to LinkedIn or whatever it is that's appropriate. Or you might want to go and post out to all of them for whatever reason. So I've got the ability to go and do that. Sorry, this button is particularly flaky. I can go and check into a location, and that would pair up on Facebook. And I can also go and set my chat status. Now, what chat status allows me to do is basically log myself into Facebook and to Live, and in a period of time also LinkedIn. Link. So what this provides a mechanism now is that chat, Facebook, Live, or SMS all become just forms of messaging. And great, obviously, if you're traveling around and you're in an airport or something, or you're traveling overseas and you don't want to be sending texts, it provides a great way of being able to send someone a message on Facebook or a message into Live. So again, a great way of being able to connect into that. This may be a dodgy bit, and I left this for a while just so it would actually build up a few messages. But I also get notifications. So again, you can see here I've got someone has mentioned me on Twitter, but it could be Facebook. Someone's posted on my Facebook or whatever it might be. But I've got a consistent way. So Nick has mentioned me in a tweet, and I can go back through there and, for whatever reason, gratuitously retweet myself. But so you can kind of see, again, that level of integration actually built into it. And those notifications, you will see appearing how many notifications. Now, I work with Brett a lot, so you see I've got Brett on the screen next to me. I can go and find out, obviously, you know, the regular contact details and things like that, email and SMS, all those types of things. I might, maybe before I make a call to Brett, actually find out what he's up to. So he's just wished somebody a happy birthday. He's now getting nervous. I can obviously look at photos, pictures and things like that. But the thing that's particularly new is this history view. And with any contact, it could be a view of the messages that they sent you across Exchange, across Live, Google, etc., or it could be text messages, etc. So it provides a great way of amalgamating the view of the conversations I've had with a particular person. And you can see, and if I can click on that, I can jump, you know, all the conversations I had with them yesterday or etc. So it provides a great way when you're about to have a conversation with somebody, you know, just finding out where we're at. I know I sent you that email. I'm sure we've all done it. No, I can't find it. So this provides just a great way of pulling all those things together into one place. If I go into messaging, so I've now signed into messaging, and I've shown you some of the history things as well. If I go into messaging, you'll now see that, for one thing, I'm online, and I've also got threads. So in this case, if Brett's now going to type into... So Brett just typed into my phone, messaged it on my phone using Live, so just instant messaging, and I can say, hi, and I get right back to you. Back to you. You get the idea. To you. And flick that on, and that's now gone back to his live messaging. You've probably just heard that beeping over there. So again, what? but you kind of get the idea. It's built into the phone, and you just think everyone's on either Facebook messaging nowadays or they're on instant messaging. So it just provides a great, really cost-effective way, again, for people to be able to go out there and communicate with each other. So those are the kind of things that are new. So when you think about messaging in this environment now, it's not just SMS-based messaging. Okay, so the next thing I want to show is some of the improvements that have gone into Office and give you a bit of a flavor of that. And again, I'm going to go into my own personal email, so we'll probably duck and dive in that reasonably quickly. And one of the things I wanted to show was what you can do around folders. So most of us have folders, which we kind of filter stuff off, and you know, if we're lucky, we might get to read it. And some folders typically have a higher priority than others. So in this case here, what I can do is hold my finger down and actually pin a folder. And again, I can rearrange that and move that around on the screen and things by just holding that down, and you know, I can move things around. So I jump into that folder here. You'll notice now we've got conversation views. So some people absolutely love conversation views, and it basically amalgamates up the conversation, so you can see what's going on there. If you don't like it, some people say, I can't stand it, you can turn it off as well. So really easy way in terms of being able to get at the information that you really care about, the emails, the folders, and things like that that you really care about.
Dave, one of the things that I think is absolutely fantastic that's been actually built back into Mango is the ability to go and search the server. So as Outlook inboxes become really a record management storage place, you can actually go back and search whatever's actually in your inbox.
Absolutely.
As opposed to a month or...
So if we go up here and go and put in something like sales, and we just search across, so you'd see if I've gone into the search for an inbox in here, and if I just back that off here, you can see I've now got search more up on Exchange. So again, you don't have to have all your email on here to better go and search and find things like that. So that'll go up there and do all that kind of thing. So the next thing we're going to show on here is what we can do around information rights management. So I go and click on this email here. You'll spot that the message up there says it's a protected message. And in this case here, it's the sales figures and things like that. I might, for whatever reason, decide I want to forward them to somebody else from my phone. So Information Rights Manager now flows all the way down onto devices as well. In this case here, you can see that I don't have the right to be able to go and forward it. So it's kind of dealing with those things. Yep, go for it.
With the search and the server, does that, I know that the host Exchange, Office 365, doesn't support server-based search. Will that be an issue if you've got Office 365 users on the first phone, search on the phone?
No, because you'd be inside a particular, you'd have multiple folder, multiple mailboxes. So you go into the, you know, the one that was hooked up to Exchange.
Yeah, so if you use it on Exchange, does it rely on this server search functionality?
Yes, it does.
Not available in Office 365, or just built in?
It'll be the stuff that's built into Exchange, yeah. So that's the kind of thing we've got around there, around Outlook. If I jump it across here, the other thing you can do, and again, this really just depends on how you like to work. Is you can link in mailboxes. So again, this is one of the features that everyone said, man, you've got to be able to link up your work folder and your personal folders and your inbox and have a combined view. I personally couldn't think of anything worse, but a lot of people love it. So that's something that new that we've added into the into the environment as well, so the LinkedIn boxes. If I jump across to some of the new things in calendaring, one of our favorite features we were just talking about before, I'm sure this doesn't happen to anybody else, but it's called the running late feature. And I've just gone into a meeting there, and you know what it is, I'm not encouraging you to use your phone while you're driving. or you're running on a catching a train or whatever it is, there's now ways to be able to, you know, ping, send off a message to somebody and say, hey, look, I'm running late. Actually, that might have been a feature in the previous version. If I come through here and add in calendars, you'll see that I've got multiple Outlook, multiple Exchange calendars supported now, so that's something we've added in here. We've always had the ability to have multiple calendars from the likes of Google, Yahoo, Live, and Exchange, but now you can have multiple Exchange calendars, for example, working, being able to interact and all on that.
You got a question?
Yep.
Can you pull in multiple calendars from Google?
You can.
You can. They're effectively ActiveSync calendars.
It'll even pull in calendars from Facebook, and you even have the ability to say, you know, I'm only going to accept or want events to go in that I've actually accepted before, because you might get all sorts of crazy events going into your...
Well, on Google, you can set up multiple calendars under one account, but previously you only pulled down the primary one.
I'm not sure about the multiple calendars. I know you can pull down calendars, but I'm not sure about that. So I'll have to come back to that one.
You can also, as Brett mentioned before, you can also now sync up your tasks. And again, you might spot that some of my tasks are a bit out of date. But you kind of get the idea. Take Vito to the vet, I think it says. Alrighty. So I've shown you the things you can do around the calendars there. The next thing I want to show is what you can do inside the Office Hub. With the first release of Windows Phone, we had support in there for pretty much all of Office, so Outlook, OneNote, Exchange, OneNote, Excel, PowerPoint, and Word. But with the only one that really interacted with cloud services or external storage was OneNote, and you could basically have a OneNote document syncing up into Live, and then syncing back down to your desktop. So now with Excel, Word, and PowerPoint, you can now basically save those backwards and forwards up to various sites. So you can see in here that I've got my SkyDrive loaded. I could save it to things to my local phone. And we've also got great SharePoint integration here. So this is a SharePoint system that's been set up. And I can jump onto documents that are sitting inside SharePoint. I can come along here and say, I'd really like to have a local copy of that one. I can go and click on that one and actually download that locally. So how many people here are using SharePoint? So a fair number of hands going up. There's about 100 million people in the world or seats in the world of SharePoint around. So it's a big, big use. So, and you can obviously make amendments to that. If I come into one of the documents, I've got an outline view or things like that. You can jump around and do all those kinds of things. So we provide great fidelity for Excel. Wait for this to pop up. Whoops. You know, help me here, Brett, because I'm just trying to remember where I make the amendments.
Typically, we find, you know, throughout the years that people don't necessarily want to do a lot of heavy editing on an Excel spreadsheet. What you actually might want to do is take a look at a, you know, report that's come through on your email. But then if you see something that's out of character, you can do a quick comment and then save that either directly back to the SharePoint server or, to save it locally as well. Up to you.
So the thing I was hunting for, thanks Brett, is a nice bit of filler, is comments as well. So you can obviously go and make comments in the local spreadsheets and have those reflected back up into SharePoint and things like that. So great, and we'll say no for that. So great interaction with SharePoint. I can come across here. One of the other things I'd love to be able to do here is on field, which is the name of SharePoint link, I can also pin that to the start. And you can see, hey, look, they got my SharePoint docs, and I can go straight to them again. Again, it's something that I might be wanting to use and wanting to be interact with.
Any question?
Do you still need to use the UAG to run a SharePoint publishers, or can we use TNG now to publish it?
So right now, it's Unified Access Gateway or Office 365 to go directly through the Office Hub.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
SharePoint calendars?
Don't believe so.
No.
Are you ready to Outlook?
Yeah, we're
thinking enterprise.
Yeah. No, not that I can see. Alrighty. So that's kind of, so I hope this gives you a bit of a flavor of what's going on there. Now, you might have noticed a couple of times when I pressed the button, I kind of got that view of all the applications that are running. And partly the reason you saw that is the back button on here is not very good. It's broken, basically. But some of the things were added in around navigation. So you've already seen the kind of the live tiles and things like that. Whoops. That's it. That's it.
Engineering device.
It's
device here, I mean, it's probably about 3 years old. It's the oldest device that we actually have.
Yeah.
So runs Mago very smoothly.
That's cool. No, it didn't like going to blank screen. okay, so you've already seen the kind of like the live tiles and kind of concept. The thing that, again, we had a lot of requests for was a way in which you can provide an easy mechanism to jump around. And basically the way you do that is say, hold the back button down. And that'll enable you to scroll. I can't remember the applications, but there's a limited number of applications you can go back and look at. And it provides a very easy way, for example, for me to jump back into my to-do list. So we've done some improvements there around navigation. If I come across to the side there now, if I have, I think it's like over 20 applications installed, I now get the kind of jump list concept, so I can jump across to maps, for example, and do things like that. So again, making that whole navigation model easier. And if I go and click on search, I can type in maps, yeah, whatever it might be. So you can kind of see that whole concept there is considerably simpler. Okay, the next thing I want to show was some of the things we can do around search. Now, Brett mentioned a couple of these things already, and this is always fun, so we'll see how we get on. So the first one, which I quite like, is voice search. And of course, now there's a nice bit of echo in here. And we'll see how it goes. Gold Coast. Okay. Well, hey, look at that. So you'll see that it's brought up. Obviously, it's gone up and done that query up there. It's obviously found me local found information about the Gold Coast. But one of the other things we're doing is this concept of extended search. And you'll see what it's actually done is it's actually brought up an application which has been tagged up in Marketplace as related to Gold Coast. Now, software developers will be able to go through and basically add a little bit of metadata about places. So it could be the airport lounge, or it could be the Gold Coast or Sydney, or whatever it might be, that you want your application to appear that's relevant to that particular search. And then you kind of see local and images and all those kinds of things. So it's really quite interesting to see what's going on with this at search. If I jump back to search again, we've got Local Scout. And Local Scout will go and find me stuff that's local, places to eat, things like that. I can jump on that particular line. And for example, here's a great example. I want to go to this restaurant tonight, and I can go and pin that to the desktop. And then, hey, when it's time to actually go there, I go and hit that, and I go and get the directions. Go and click on that, and it'll bring up. You go off and do your location services for that. So again, the whole concept of trying to make things much more relevant to what you're trying to do. And then the last one I'm going to show is what we're doing around recognition. And you'll laugh. Let me just bring this up. Now, Brett's already mentioned this. I've got a couple of codes on my phone. Hopefully that'll pick that up. This happens to be a tag, Microsoft tag, which has got my contact details in it, but we support QR codes and things like that out of the box. Around there, and again, just there. And then the next thing I'm going to show is what we can do around some of the other capabilities. So for example, this might be, if I can hold this text up here, I'm going to click on. Right, holding my breath. Okay, so it's been up there and found the words on that sign. So you can imagine you're traveling around and there's a sign up there that you just don't know what it means. But go now, click on the translate. I might want to know what that is in Dutch. So we actually go off there and convert into another language. Now, I'm sure...
Who speaks Dutch in here? Nobody.
You can, but you can imagine that the easy... You're walking around in a foreign city, and I mean, this could say anything. I was just converted to Chinese traditional. But you kind of get the idea. Now, absolutely amazing technology behind it. It's sitting up, up obviously, a service up in the cloud. But you can just see the ability to, again, maybe it's not that enterprise feature per se, but it'd be bloody handy. but you get the idea that if we go off and pick out another language, maybe we've got a few more Italian speakers in here.
Does anybody speak Italian?
Does anyone speak Italian? A language that someone speaks is not English? Put up your hand and shout out something.
Polish.
Polish. How good is that? I don't know. Who
said it? You don't know either.
Is it about right? Yeah, cool. But anyway, it's such an awesome feature. so that's pretty much what I was going to show in terms of the applications. Now, I was going to show a couple of examples of apps. And you may question why they're not Australian apps. The app that we've been showing a lot has been the Qantas app. But we've shown it at a couple of conferences, so we decided we'd show something different. So if you're wondering why we're not showing something local. But the next one we'll show is what British Airways are kind of playing around with in terms of ideas for a Mango phone, for a Mango phone-based application. We'll just make sure we don't check out. So in this case here, I've got my flight, and I actually want to go and do a check-in. And the next thing I want to go and do is go and pick my seat. And it's just downloading some data at the moment. Or maybe it's loading some data, I think, at the moment. So hold your breath for about 5 seconds. A long 5 seconds. And we can start moving around and interacting with that. And I say, and there's a seat up there, obviously. I can click on that one. Do it for me. Okay, and then obviously I can start going through the airline, through the actual cabin, and actually get a 3D kind of view. Now, the interesting thing about this application, again, if you're a software developer, this is probably interesting for you, is that this is an application which is built using both XNA and Silverlight. So one of the things we did with Mango and those frameworks is bring them together. So you can now basically build event-driven and kind of more multimedia-driven applications as one application. I will save that out, and then the next thing I want to go and do is do a check-in, and that there goes the QR code in this case has been built for me, and again the whole idea that I'd go and pin that ticket to the main screen on my phone. So that's the first one there, which I quite liked, and the second one I'm going to show is actually a BBC one. So I said we've got a bit of an English theme going through here, and this is a beta version. And the thing that I liked about this application, so come across to feeds, and I particularly, surprise, surprise, am interested in technology. So this will refresh in a moment. So if I jump into the technology section, you'll see I get the idea of being able to, it's what we call deep linking. So you're going to see more of these applications coming through. So yeah, the BBC's got stuff on sport, on Asian Pacific and US news and a whole range of things, but I particularly want technology. So you're going to see a class of these applications coming through where as an end user, I can then make a decision about the stuff that I'm really interested in inside that application. If I go and click on the technology, you'll see it takes me straight across to the technology feed. And in this case, I think I spotted as well on the live tile. You'll see it flicking over, and basically it's bringing up the headline news in the technology section as well. So that's pretty much the demonstration. Was there anything I obviously missed?
Maybe the Internet Explorer and the fish.
Yeah, of course. Thanks. The other thing we've done, and some of you might have seen this already in the previous demo, is we've got amazing HTML5 support. So we've got the same engine that we have on the desktop with IE9, so with hardware graphics acceleration. So if you've seen the fish tank demo in IE9 on the desktop, you'll know, you'll appreciate the performance that if you've tested these demos against other browsers on the desktop, you'll appreciate this is really quick. And it's using the GPU on the device, and we've now enabled that through the Internet Explorer for rendering out graphics and executing on JavaScript and things like that. So really high performance and very high fidelity rendering of HTML5 inside the browser on the desk, inside the phone. So, and obviously you can go and do things like add to favorites, share pages, pin to start, all that kind of stuff. And voila, so things like that. So that was, thanks for that, yeah, brilliant. Okay, so anyway, there's obviously more, but we tried to pick out stuff that we kind of thought was kind of a bit more enterprisey. I know places that were slightly less than enterprisey, but hopefully you get a bit of a flavor of where the device is going, what's happening with the operating system, particularly around kind of enterprise integration. So with that, are there any questions? Yeah. So what were you missing?
So not all the features are enabled for the Australian region. So we're always looking at other ways of improving it. So a lot of them will be enabled. Some of them will take a little bit more time.
Yeah, books and CDs is one of those things. It's not. But you will. I have to say I didn't realize it wasn't. I did a text scan on the book. I actually pretty much got what I wanted out of it. I think it flicked me off to Amazon or something like that. Yeah.
In government, we have two sticking points with all the model license, which is one is we have to tag all subject lines with certain classification. And I was wondering if any apps or apply the app to do that. Or is there another app to store it?
Natively out of the box, that's not something that we actually support. Certainly there could be applications out there or it could be developed that would enable that type of level of security that you require. So yeah, another, you know, something obviously we're trying to achieve. So, you know, in the past, as you know, Windows Phone 6.1, 6.5, or EAL 2 and EAL 4, I think the only other operating system out there right now that does have that approval is BlackBerry. Certainly, we've had that feedback from a number of customers, and we've taken it on board. So,
with the current draft of devices, what's the best one, sort of in your thoughts and opinion, what new ones are coming?
Why do you even bother asking that one? They're all great, right? But we can't comment on upcoming devices. But you know, they all, you know, when a mobile operator selects what type of device, they try and always differentiate it. Some of them have a different price point, some of them have a different screen. So they all have different features, different megapixel cameras. But the one thing that we've remained consistent on is that we have that minimum specs. So it really comes down to personal form factor. If you wanted a QWERTY keyboard, you could select the LG. There's an LG with a QWERTY out there. If you like the Super AMOLED screen, then maybe the Samsung's the device for you, or perhaps the HTC, you know, has a much larger screen. So it really comes down to personal preference.
Yeah.
I don't think we actually highlighted this point and the fact that every phone that's out there today, will be upgradable for free to Mango when it is eventually released. So you can actually get a device today if you want.
Mm.
Don't know.
No.
I think that's more of a Telstra question, isn't it? Where's Telstra? Yeah, so you're absolutely right. There are different bands, and different mobile operators have different bands. So if you're running Telstra, you intend to run Telstra network, you want to make sure that it has an 850 megahertz frequency out there. Okay. It does work.
Yeah, but it had to be the right model.
Yeah. Yeah, so for instance, the... Yeah, let's say the Samsung Omnia 7, for instance, has 900 megahertz and 2100 megahertz. So the Optus run a different type of 3G network out there. Good point. So for a prize, who can tell me two enterprise features in Mango? Yeah. So I got to go to somebody else because encrypted email is not...
Okay, well, if you've got any more questions, I think we're getting the time to wind up, guys. So if you have any more questions, do feel free to come up and ask us. And I guess thank you very much, and please fill in the evaluation forms, and thank you very much, and enjoy the
rest. Thank you very much. Thank you.